Episode 54 of the Velocity Podcast. Happy Wednesday to you, my friend.
Happy Wednesday, mate. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Energy's pretty good today. I've had a good, productive morning. And my my nutrition's been pretty good. Sleep has been average to good. I had a good little kind of sleep period on my app heading up to the weekend. Last few days have been a bit dodged for various reasons. But generally, I'm on form. How about you?
Good to know. Yeah. Speaking of sleep, I invested in a much to your advice, I invested in a Whoop recently.
Whoops.
Whoops.
you call it a Whoops instead of a Whoop.
And that a Whoop. And it tracks my, obviously tracks your sleep and your sleep quality. And that's never been a great thing for me. But ironically, it messaged me the other day and said, oh, you've had like a much better night's sleep than usual. Keep it up sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that night I fell asleep on the sofa in front of the fire and woke up at 5:30 in the morning feeling like absolute shit because I'd fallen asleep on the sofa. So I'm starting to question the validity of the Whoop and everything that it means. But we'll stick with it. But no, generally very, very well. Thank you.
Yeah. You know you can record on that thing. You can record like behaviors. I think it's called behaviors on the app where like you can, there's loads of things you can choose from. I think you can almost customize it. And you can have one, which is, did I fall asleep on the sofa last night? So it knows that you train it that that particular behavior will correlate with either ups or downs, you know, improvements or whoopsies in your performance.
It's a fairly consistent feature when I put the fire on that I nod off in front of it. So I might have to embed that.
Do you know, actually, I read this the other day. It wasn't the other day. It was ages ago, but I just remembered of it. Fire crackling, like being near a fire, is like quite deeply embedded into our psyche, into our not genetics, that's the wrong word totally, but do you know what I'm trying to say, where we are hardwired almost in our software to switch off and relax when we hear the fire crackling, because it, as from our ancestry, that would mean we are in the tribe, in the camp with our local people around us, so we are more safe. So the dog crackling fire is a sign of safety, which probably contributes to us slight switching off and falling asleep more.
There we go.
Should we end the podcast there? I think that's quite good for today.
If you're struggling to sleep, team, get some crackly fire up on YouTube and you'll be fine. Yeah. Sort your eyes
out. We also launched a new mentorship program on fire sounds and sleep. So if you want to improve your sleep by... So, mate, we're gonna talk today about the difference between like what learning means. Because yeah. I think the setup that I would make to this conversation is we are all looking to improve, us included. We've launched Velocity as it is now 3 years ago, and we've been learning a ton. And what we notice is a pattern of when we're doing good stuff, there's a pattern of what we do.
Mm.
And we wanted to share that today so that people can take something from it. And we see it in clients that we work with, both the clients that are making amazing progress and also those that are not making as good a progress, right? And I think it jumped out to us in recent conversations, didn't it, with some peeps.
Yeah, well, that first part that you said, I think one of our responsibilities as mentors is that we look for trends with the coaches that we're working with. So, you know, when you look across all of our programs, we've got just under or just over 200 people. I can't remember the exact number, but it's I'm ready for tomorrow. The thing that we tend to look for is, you know, how can we make Velocity better? We're always looking to see how we can improve it. And one of the best ways to do that is to lean into the people that are already there and say, well, what are the habits and the behaviors of those that are absolutely crushing it? And what are the habits and behaviors of those that are having a slightly slower journey or struggling with a certain element? And one of the things that we consistently find is it's this concept, the people that the way in which they seek to get a result and the work that they do and how well they understand what we're about to talk about here. So something we're always looking to make sure that we repeat to new members and existing members to keep hammering the message home, but also something that we're trying to improve in the way that we give people our trainings. We recently added that video, if you remember, into various different pages on the site, which is how to actually get the most out of the trainings that we have in Velocity. And that's come about from us having this very conversation.
Yeah. On this note, I a while ago now, it's a few years ago, I didn't know this thing existed. I saw it and I thought it was quite a funny book, right? I saw this book being advertised or being recommended on a podcast. And the book's title was How to Read a Book.
Mm.
So I'm reading a book to tell me how to read a book. And it sounds so stupid on the surface, but actually I read it and it kind of gave you a strategy, a tactic to how to get the most out of the books that you want to read. And so I think it's the best metaphor for sharpening your saw of like, how can I get better at getting better? It's meta, right? I think that's the phrase of it. My wife talks about meta all the time because she works for an education company to teach teachers how to teach. So she helps them like use science and like figure out how do I best get my students to improve faster and more easily and smoothly. So I think that concept is great. And this book was, it like gave you like a 5-step plan of how you start here and then do that and then write that down and then do this and then go there. And it was really fascinating. And so we, on that same note, we've spent more and more time trying to dissect what is the formula, what is the approach to getting the most out of a mentorship program, be it ours or be it any coaching program that you might be a part of.
Yeah. And like the reality is that you're going to do it anyway, right? So you're going to watch the training anyway, or you're going to read the book anyway. So you're going to be putting that time into it. So you might as well read the book on how to read a book or watch our video on how to get the most out of it, because just watching something is largely irrelevant. All you're doing is you're pushing information into your head and doing nothing with it, or you're pushing into your information into your head and you're not processing it, or you're not putting it into context, or you're not understanding how do I use that information in my world, in my environment, to actually get the outcome that I want.
Yeah. And then it links to the lumberjack story. And I heard this again recently, so I'm just going to share it one more time. Simon Sinek was talking about it on a reel that I was watching. And he said, the way he told the story, I think there's a longer version, but I'll try and do the short one. He was like, two lumberjacks go to work. They start at the same time and they finish at the same time. And yet one of them produces multiple times more wood than the other. And the only difference between these two lumberjacks is that one takes a 2-hour break in the middle of the day. And the other guy who's not producing as much wood keeps observing this. And he's like, he keeps looking at the pile of wood that this guy produces at the end of the day. And he's like, how is he doing more? I'm putting in more hours than he is. He's taking 2 hours off in the middle of the day. And he's still how does it work? And after a number of weeks, he approaches the other lumberjack and he says, how are you doing this? And he says, what are you doing? Like, you go into that little cabin over there and you come back out. You still produce. What are you doing? And he says, I'm just sharpening my axe. And the idea that I think for a lot of people, and I've definitely been guilty of this, so I'll put my hand up straight away, that the idea of stopping, like doing the thing, like studying the workshop, implementing the thing, to learn how to better do the thing, is initially it feels like I'm wasting time because I'm not doing the thing. I'm not taking action. Like I'm not creating a piece of content. I'm learning how to better create content so that later my content does better. And I think initially you have to accept that I'm going to make a sidestep. I'm going to stand still for half an hour or an hour or whatever, so that later I can make faster, further progress more efficiently. And that lumberjack story, the sharpening of the axe or the saw, is the perfect analogy.
Yeah. So you explained, we were on a call earlier with our 2K club, which is a sort of prelim to our main program for coaches that are trying to get their first 10 to 15 clients. We've got 8 specific strategies to get them there. And we were talking about this and you explained the difference between learning in different environments. So yeah, could you share that with the 4.5 million listeners?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh gosh. Standing up on stage in front of 4.5 million people. The way my brain broke it down, because when I used to think about learning, I think if a lot of people think learning, you imagine reading a book, watching a video, studying a training of some kind. That's learning because I'm just grabbing the information. Whereas actually we don't learn anything because there is a component of action taking in learning. Like we only really learn by doing.
Yeah.
And when people think about the practical, their own personal experience with learning, you learn most when you do. Like when you go into the gym and you get under the bar, you get better at squats. Like you learn more about squatting by squatting, not watching a video of someone talking to you about squatting. And so that action doing element is part of learning. So I think we have to redefine what that really means. And so what I did quite simply, is I just said, well, let's think about two things, two steps that actually are cyclical. And so step one is information gathering, where I'm either reading a book, I'm in a coaching environment with, like we were in a coaching environment with our clients this week, or we are watching a video maybe, and we're studying something. That's information gathering. And I'm gathering feedback, or I'm getting information from a source that gives me ideas or, you know, direction of things of that I've yet to do. And that's the first part. The second part is that we then take action on the information that's been gathered. We sort of organize that into a bit of an action plan, and then we do. We put it to the test, right? We go out into the field and we action it. And then once we've actioned it, we then repeat that again. So we'll get information back from what we've done, feedback from the conversation I had, the session that I delivered, the content that I posted, whatever. And then we're going to gather that, organize it, and then look to take action again. Maybe that action is, well, the action then should be slightly different because I've learned and I've done something a bit different based on the feedback that I got from the last information gathering session. And then if you zoom out, it's just, that is literally all we do. And if you keep going through the information gathering to doing and taking action, back to information gathering and then doing, that is actually the process of progress that makes sense to me, at least.
So you could argue that one of the best ways to not learn would to be a perfectionist.
To just gather information and prepare. Yeah.
Yeah, like, and we've experienced that. You know, I'm just going to go over this 65 more times. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to keep tweaking this and changing. And the action never happens. And so what happens is, and this is certainly my understanding of this, and again, I'll put my hand up, I was guilty of this once upon a time. Mm-hmm. What you start doing is you start guessing what the right changes are to make, rather than just putting it out there into the world, into your market, and letting the market tell you what needs to change. That's where the real learning happens. So if you're listening to this and you're one of those people that is just gathering information and building something and thinking, no, that's not quite right, or I want to change that, or what about that type of person? Actually, I need to do something for them. All you're doing is gathering more and more information and preparing more and more things based on your own assumption of what the market wants. Whereas the polar opposite to that is imperfect action. Gather the information, create your first shitty draft, and put it out there, maybe a little bit more than a first shitty draft, maybe before you put it out there, tinker with it a little bit, put it out there and let the market tell you what's broken, what doesn't work. And it reminds me of a client that I had when I was a personal trainer, and her job was to go into big companies and get things happening. And it always surprised me. She'd go into sort of NatWest Bank or Lloyds Bank. It was quite often banks. And she said there were teams of 6-12 people that were working on projects, and they'd been working on the same project for 3 years. And it initially had a 6-month time frame on it. And so she would be hired independently to go in there. And she said, I'd usually fire someone on day one to shake everybody up a little bit, which was quite
trailblazing. Get their attention.
Yeah. And then her first sentence almost every time was, we're going to take something to market in 2 weeks. And we're going to let the market tell us what's broken, what needs changing, what needs fixing. We're going to stop deliberating in this little room over here and trying to anticipate it. And if that's happening at that level over the, I mean, we're talking millions and millions of pounds of investment into these projects. You can imagine that that's going to be happening almost in every single small independent business, and therefore linking into personal training. So I think it's a really important lesson. You know, what is learning? What is information gathering? But also, what is just trying to dot every I and cross every T a little bit too much? As opposed to just saying, cool, that's good enough. I'll take that. I'll put it out there and I'll let them tell me. I'll let them give me more information back as feedback from what I've created so far, so that I can learn more and I can implement and improve from there.
And what you're saying there also sparked up the other trip hazard here, is that you get into this, is I think this one's for the overthinkers, where they do their prep and they're really putting in the work to you know, the study, but they're going a bit over the top, like the perfectionist that you talk about. And by the one of the outcomes or the byproducts of that is that you start saying two deadly words or deadly sentences that start with the two words, what if? And you start saying things like, well, what if this happens? And what if I did that and then that happened? How would I deal with that? And then that would lead to this happening, and that would be all like, oh, I can't imagine what that would be like. And so you start your brain, your kind of you're catastrophizing, and you're kind of imagining eventualities that may not even happen, and oftentimes are very low in probability of actually happening. And you're now building barriers in your head from actually starting to take action, preventing the whole cascade of improvement that we've just outlined of, you know, doing, gather information, and results and progress just happen as a byproduct of that two-step process repeatedly. But the what if and the wondering, like the procrastination around the worry, I think holds so many people back from doing the stuff that's going to require them to get them moving in the direction they want.
Yeah, so true. We've even experienced that when people get to, let's say, 4 or 5K a month, they've now got something to lose in their mind.
Yeah.
So it's like, what if all my clients leave? Or what if when I put my prices up, everybody goes? And it's kind of like, well, what evidence have you got to suggest that that's true? Like, you need to go out there into the market and do the thing and figure it out. Like, you're going to put some structure behind it. It's going to come from an educated space to make that decision, but you're just putting what ifs in the way. So yeah, sometimes people can do that when they start to become successful. They start to panic that everything they've done to that point that has got them there is all of a sudden just going to disappear.
Yeah.
And the whole world's going to come collapsing down. So I'm not going to buy that house, or I'm not going to lease that car or go on that holiday, because what if all my clients hand in their notice? It's like, what if they don't? What if they carry on acting the same way they have for the last 18 months? You know, then you should do that thing. So yeah, there's a lot to it.
And it comes back to then, like, yeah, that example there is operating out of fear. Yeah. What if this thing that I don't have evidence for happens and it all goes wrong? Therefore, I'm better off just not doing anything and just remaining stood here in this spot, not challenging myself anymore. And you've stopped the very thing or the very mind. You've kind of quelled and you've handcuffed the very mindset that got you to where you were in the first place, which was to expand yourself and stretch and take yourself out of your comfort zone. And so I think part of it, like the very logical breakdown we've made of what progress is, goes alongside the kind of mental side of it, which is not being afraid to fail and fuck it up, or the acceptance that, no, I'm not an amazing salesman or woman right now. No, I'm not an amazing content creator. But unless I get into the flow, the daily flow of creating content or having sales discussions or whatever it is, then I will never get there anyway. So can I not just get over this little hurdle and get myself on that train?
Yeah, I need to get it out there to get the feedback to work out why I'm shit at it so that I can get better.
Yeah.
And I've all of a sudden just got a huge amount of hypocrite warning coming across. So I want to be transparent and say this is us, or has been us too. And it's probably the reason, I'm sure you'll agree, it's probably the reason why Velocity happened 5 years later than it should have done. Yeah. So we launched Velocity officially about 3 years ago. But we came up with the idea long before that. Yeah. But the what ifs were the things that were holding us back. And the secure position that we were in as personal trainers with wonderful businesses, very, very successful, great family life, houses, all the things that we wanted, was the very thing that stopped us doing the thing that we really knew we should be doing. So yeah, we're not free of that trap either. But we're getting better.
We are definitely getting better. And that experience that you speak of is, I'm so glad that we had that experience, because it's one of the things that really does, it sort of, it prods me and it pokes me when I think about it. Like, it makes me a bit scared that, not scared, it's like probably motivated to not let that happen again. And it makes me a bit on alert to be like, what am I not doing because of comfort? Or what am I procrastinating on or deferring that I should take action on sooner because I'm a bit scared, but it should be the thing I do anyway. And so, yeah, it's a great experience for us. And yeah, I am a bit bummed that we didn't do it earlier, but I'm glad that we did it. So hopefully this experience and us sharing that might make someone out there maybe take an action that they've been procrastinating on.
Yeah. Sometimes you just need to press the fuck it button and get it done.
Yeah. JFDI. Cool. All right, dude. Good to chat to you. We'll speak again next week, I'm sure.
For sure. Cheers, team.
Bye for now.